This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 43 of Sunday Supplement. Welcome, as always, to Izzy.
Hello.
How are you?
I am well.
I'm not.
Aren't you?
I got mugged on Saturday night.
You got mugged?
Yeah. Some bastard stole an hour of my life, and I'm never going to get it back.
Simon, that happened to us all.
Well, you know, turning into British Summertime. I nearly said Sunday Supplement. GMTV turning into Sunday Supplement.
It's a letdown in both media and content.
I don't like the clocks going forward an hour.
The best thing I saw about it was Chris Addison tweeted on Twitter. He was talking about Earth Day, as plugged by this podcast, how everybody on Saturday night decided to switch off their lights so we could, as David Cameron would say, focus on the issues of climate change. But Chris Addison said that he circumnavigated the need to participate in Earth Day by putting his clock forward, thus saving a whole hour of electricity at no inconvenience to himself. So, which was probably the best thing I've ever... Follow Chris Addison on Twitter. He's a very, very funny man. I came up with a system whereby getting mugged for that hour wouldn't be so inappropriate, which was basically give yourself a week, and at any point in that week, you can take away that hour. So it could be like on a Monday morning at work, and you could go, I'll take that hour now and have an early lunch.
Nice.
And then obviously I'd work again in the autumn at the other equinox, which I always think, the equinox for me is always a little laser beam going up into a mouth going, equinox, like that. But when that happens in the autumn, you can add it on wherever you feel like it. So I'd say if it was like a season of 24, you could give the extra hour to that to hype up the drama and tension.
Can you save them up? So over 12 years, you could actually have a whole half day.
I don't think that would work particularly well. I actually suggested this idea, and a gentleman who is a mariner or some other sort of seaman, he basically... Simon, you were 9 years old.
You said seaman.
I did. He basically...
Did he have a big bald head and a long white tail?
No. Oh. He got very upset the fact that I dared mock the institution that is Greenwich Mean Time. He found that quite upsetting. And when I say found that quite upsetting, I mean, seriously, I got remonstrated.
Reprimanded, I think is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. I got aard hard.
Did you get a paper?
I did get a paper this week. I decided, due to the fact...
Sorry, you just said that like it was a revelation. Yeah, I did get a paper this week.
I remember what I was doing. For a moment there, I thought we were on the phone.
Right.
You know how you do that. No. I got the Independent because all the women are independent. It has the free puzzle guide in it, which, as you know, Simon, I like a puzzle.
No, you don't.
I do.
You hate puzzles.
I've been doing them, so you're wrong.
I remember having to teach you Sudoku.
Oh, I hate Sudoku. Sudoku isn't a puzzle. Sudoku's just a headache. Oh, I don't, you know, I just think, why can't you have two fives living next to each other? What sort of state is this?
A Nazi one.
Our Nazis would allow five to live together. Even the Nazis would do that, not Sudoku, so.
I got the Sunday Times.
Oh, no, not again. You got the weight.
Oh, yeah.
The sheer ballast. You could sit on the Sunday Times and survive at sea.
If I sit on the Sunday Times, my feet don't touch the floor.
You're like Fenchurch in So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, because your feet never actually touch the floor.
I am going to cut out something dirty this week. Because apparently, right, I was reading this, that during a recession, which we're in, or something...
Don't say that, it will happen.
Or...
Recession is the adult equivalent of Beetlejuice. So if you say it enough, it'll happen.
Right. So we're in the middle of a bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my West Wing reference.
Well, I've recognised it. And if you were in the middle of a bagel, things would be quite tight.
You'd be creamy.
Really? Well, only if you made the bagel creamy. You could have, as advertised in McDonald's, a bacon bagel, which I just think is a beautiful...
Right, so in the middle of a recession, apparently all we want to do is wear red lipstick and talk about sex. And the Sunday Times is filthy this week. It's absolutely filthy. It's got a sex special pullout for a start, which is what the Catholic method of contraception, I think. And it's got this article, The Years of Loving Dangerously, and it's about Cold War sex spies.
Nice.
And it's about Romanian spies who were trained to have sex with people to get secrets.
How much training do you need to be able to have sex?
It's more to do with the seduction, I think. And it turns out the size of the penis as well.
Really? I thought it would be sort of more to do with how attractive. You're like, would you really pick a very ugly spy and then train them to be seductive? Or would you just pick a very, very sexy spy?
Well, I think that's probably quite sexy too. But it says a regular foreign intelligence officer has an official position, a diplomatic passport and a country behind him. An illegal officer acts under a foreign flag and has only his penis. That's his cover. You can't walk around with a penis as your cover.
I mean, particularly to shelter from the weather, that would be quite...
Well, true.
Inappropriate. Unless you had an extending, like a special James Bond penis, which actually you could, you know, like puppetry of the penis, only much more skillful, and you could actually use it as a second face.
But the trouble is, right, imagine you're using it as a sunshade, and you're walking down like a Brazilian beach.
See, there's nothing, there'd be no worse place to get sunburn.
Ow, that's horrible. I hate you.
Thank you.
But yeah, apparently the spies had to have a king-size penis. And I don't know how big king's penises are.
I'd imagine quite small. Well, no, a dictator's penises must be very small.
Yeah.
But king's penises, probably your average schlong.
And the women spies,
they have penises.
They had to have a tight sex orifice so that she could squeeze her lover's penis like a vice. Ow.
No, it's not saying that her sex orifice is like a vice. It's just that she could squeeze her lover's penis like a vice. So imagine squeezing a vice. Similar.
Well, okay.
I don't know how you'd get a vice into your sex orifice. I suppose you could shout up hints and tips.
Apparently, there's a doctor who specialised in moulding the sex orifice according to the peculiarity of each case.
The peculiarity? Yeah. Peculiar sex orifices. I think this is leading us down the road to just sheer smuts now.
What I've just noticed is that the whole article is next to a advertising promotion called Pleasure Island.
What do we want, Simon? Anarchy! Because this week we have the, like, you know, big summit of, like, people in London who come and say, ah!
And then
that's the one. And then all the people go, ooh! And then they go, ah! And then they have protests.
Apparently only half the number of anarchists expected to turn up turned up to that march.
Really?
Yeah, that's anarchy for you.
Well, yeah. It's a nice article. They actually interview all the anarchists, and they also give a little list of all the big protests that have happened in the world, starting in 1649, which is the Diggers, a group of communists, have formed. They believe man can be free only from society without government interference, wherein all products are shared. So almost like a libertarian, apart from, you know, the idea of sharing stuff. This is all about the stuff on the 1st of April. This is when the big march is going to happen.
Okay.
So it's got pictures of, like, Chris Knight, who's a professor in anthropology, saying that what they're going for is overthrowing the government. That's their aim. And he's got a big sign around his head saying, eat the bankers. And he's dressed up as a banker. It looks quite cool.
Wouldn't that confuse an anarchist? And he'd think he was a banker and he'd eat him.
Well, maybe.
But that's a suicide bid, surely.
Well, it depends how hungry anarchists are for change.
Maybe he's being dirty and he's got, like, a quick entry zip on his trousers. Is eat the banker.
I don't think it sucked the banker off.
That would be a very different Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, that would be.
Noel would get it in his beard and everything. It'd be like Velcro stuck to his crotch.
Oh, no, please. No. No. No, you're not being funny. You're being disgusting, aren't you? Say sorry.
Sorry.
Good. We'll move on. What I find quite interesting about this, I mean, it's full of nice little phrases like, Bone's own particular brand of anarchism is extreme. I'm full of class hatred, he tells me, cheerfully, over a pint in the local Wetherspoons. It's just the bit, you know, I want to overthrow the ruling classes. It's also full of, like, real snobbishness. Like, there's this girl called Tamsin Omond. She's one of the people who led the protests against the Heathrow extra expansion of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian Bone says, stupid twat. Listen to her accent. She's just one of those climate change lots who do a bit of environmental action to get their CV before going back to live with their big house with mum and dad. And you're just like, so people who are middle class cannot hold views. And you're a bit, oh, the snobbishness is just amazing. The inverted, yes, I don't like these people.
Yeah,
I think anarchy is a bit of a lame attitude, really.
I think it's so.
Basically just giving up. It's just basically, well, nobody can govern.
Yeah, it's quite nihilistic, isn't it?
We can't work out how to do it, therefore nobody can.
I don't know, I always think it's like an 8-year-old having a temper tantrum.
Yeah. Anyway, that thing's called We Predict a Riot, and they've got like a photo cover of the new review, and they've put big anarchy signs all over, you know, a red A in a circle, which is the anarchist symbol, which is a bit like Richard Dawkins' red A for atheism.
Right.
And the thing is that you have all these people, some of their for peaceful protest, just protesting the fact that we're bailing out the banks. Other people are there because they want to incite class warfare, and other people are there because they really have a lack of imagination and are trying to impress another 18-year-old. So, although I don't necessarily agree with anything, I don't like environmentalists protesting.
No, I don't either.
And it's just because they lie, and they've got a good reason to be doing what they're doing. But in order to do it, they lie, and I don't like that.
They're like them Cold War spies.
They are, and they have sex with me, and I don't like that either.
Television, then.
I've got an article called The Performance Art at the Heart of Albert Square. Hero or Villain? June Brown. And this is all about Dot Cotton. Brown is the first female soap star to be honoured since Jean Alexander for her portrayal of Hilda Ogden in Coronation Street more than 20 years ago. This is, she's been nominated for Best Actress Award at the BAFTAs, which is amazing for a soap star.
Mm-hmm.
She has been in EastEnders on and off since the beginning of 1985, which is like a lifetime ago.
Well, literally for you.
Yeah. She was described by her contemporary Nigel Hawthorne as the most beautiful creature ever to walk the stage.
Aww.
Yeah. June Brown is a refined, elegant, champagne-sipping sort of woman out of character, whereas Dot is more of a gin and bitter lemon type. And it is an amazing character that she's built. And she got, wasn't it like one episode where it was just Dot? I mean, that is an amazing... I mean, she's one of Britain's best actresses. It's bizarre.
I've got The Wire Effect.
When I got in, what's your bet?
I love The Wire. I think it's great. And this article is really annoying, though, because he's trying to be funny about it. He's trying to say, well, yeah, everyone says The Wire's really good, but what if you don't want to watch it? And he's got this cheat guide of how to pretend you've seen The Wire. He's got this really beautifully written, well-acted, well-directed, probably one of the best bits of TV you're ever likely to see. And he's kind of denigrating it into, oh, well, you might not understand the accents, so watch it with subtitles. And if you don't understand what the characters are, just pretend that Omar's the best.
It's not Shakespeare. You don't have to intellectualise it. It's just a TV show.
Exactly.
It's nothing difficult about it, really. It's just really nicely done. They have an entire scene in the first series where the only word is the F word.
Yeah.
It's just amazingly good. Admittedly, you don't have somebody like in Dragon's Den summarising everything, going, well, Omar's just robbed those drug dealers. Now, will he be remonstrated? Let's listen to Stringer Bell to find out.
You've obviously never had the audio description switched on your digital telly, then. Seriously, that's what they say. They don't editorialise as much as that, but they do say, Omar walks down the street whistling.
Omar, Omar's coming.
WMD. So it's Dot Cotton versus The Wire.
Oh, nah. Dot Cotton would spit all over The Wire.
Yeah, but wire is like better than cotton. Although you can't wear wire jeans. You'd scratch your testes. Books, then.
Yeah, read it and weep.
Big Mouth Strikes Again. Witty tales are thin on the ground in Piers Morgan's new book.
A guy in a pub told me, Simon, they actually did some checks on it. I think Private Eye did some checks on his book.
Right.
And they found that all of his meetings were fictional. Like, there's a time he was meant to have dinner with Robbie Williams. Robbie Williams was in Australia doing a gig.
Okay, that's quite interesting.
It's actually lies. But once again, I heard this from a bloke in the pub, and he said he thought it was Private Eye. But I'm more, you know, likely to believe that the Pope is the expert on sexual advice than I am that Piers Morgan is popular with people. So carry on, Simon.
After years of baiting wannabes on the pages of News of the World and The Mirror, he has proved every bit as craven and fame-thirsty as a Big Brother contestant. Then, infuriatingly, he picks a fight with anyone who wants to point this out to him. I'm unsure what makes him tick. Maybe he's just an arse, I pondered as I snapped the book shut.
I think basically the sort of anatomical part of the body that Piers Morgan represents is only owned by half the species, me being one of them. And it is a special place, but it is also a rather rude place. And that is exactly what he is.
Apparently Bodmin Library has his first book, The Insider, underneath the banner saying, "Books we hate." Morgan's problem as a diarist is that as his life gets less consequential, so does he. So can you beat Piers Morgan, please? With a big stick?
In my massive books and reviews section, I've got The Rule of Three. Gifted historical novelist struggles to unify this account of Leonardo, Machiavelli and Borgia. And this is The Artist, Philosopher and the Warrior by Paul Strathern, which is published by Cape, and it costs £25. And Thomas Wright's written a lovely, insightful review about why it doesn't quite work. But the reason I picked this one out of all the reviews is because the only picture to go alongside of it is a picture of Leonardo. Mm-hmm. And underneath the caption reads, "Leonardo in his military engineer hat."
Fair enough. They didn't make a huge howler and put DiCaprio on there in an engineer's hat.
Nope, they didn't even go for the pun. DiCaprio.
So you have a really good book and I have Piers Morgan lying.
We've mentioned him too much already. I think we should euthanise Piers Morgan.
Euthanise, not euphemise.
Well, no, I don't think we should kill anybody, Simon.
Let's play Article or Farcical then.
David C. Hughes says that he disagrees with whatever you pick for Article or Farcical this week.
What?
He tweeted me to inform me that you're wrong, even before you've made a decision. Now that is prophecy.
To be fair, I've won four of the last five Article or Farcicals, so if he's going to disagree with four of the last five, then he's going to have lost, isn't he?
No, that's not happening. It's not true. You have.
It is true. It's borne out by fact. You just have to go back and listen to the last five episodes.
Well, we will see, won't we? Will you guess which is the genuine
article? No, not now I won't. Not just to prove me wrong, because karma hates me.
There's no such thing as karma, except what you get after you've had a nice sleep. Get a little bit calmer.
Let's play.
Oh, you want to play, do you?
Yeah.
You want to play with the big boys? Okay, all of these articles are from The Independent on Sunday. Three are genuine articles, but one isn't from The Independent after all, and I've just made it up. So can Simon tell which are the genuine articles and which is the farcical? Are you ready, Simon?
Yeah.
Okay. Another fine eaten mess. Ooh. What's that?
Hey? Is that about...
It's not about the pudding. It's about Eton.
Pudding?
Eton mess.
See, I don't even know that's a pudding, so I don't even get the joke.
What do you mean you didn't even know that's a pudding? How can you not know Eton mess is a pudding?
Well, what is it?
Is this genuine, or are you being...
I'm serious. What is Eton mess? I've never heard of it.
It is meringue, strawberries, and basically cream all mushed up together.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
That's lovely. You've never heard of that?
No, I've never heard of it.
I've got Queen to be King.
Queen to be King?
Yeah.
And what's that about?
That's about the change of laws, apparently, that's going through about the monarchy.
Again, I don't know what that is.
What's the catch?
What's the catch?
Yeah. Can you guess what that might be about?
Fish.
Boom!
Chick-a-chick, boom.
Point Simon. And then, finally, Nudes of the World.
Nudes of the World.
Yeah, and in your voice, in your slightly nasally voice, nudes, sounds like you're saying news anyway, so it's quite funny.
I do not have a nasally voice.
Okay. I do not have a nasally voice either, Simon.
Right, well, because I've never heard of Eton mess, then...
What do you think? I'm making up an entire pudding as well.
No, I know. I can see why the pudding is called an eaten mess. It does sound like a mess.
We're going to have to have another section called Name That Pudding.
All right, go on, describe a pudding and I'll name it.
Okay, it's filled with custard cream and apricots. It's got a bun, and on top of the bun, it's got honey and almonds.
Now, you've described a cake.
Well, I'll have it for pudding.
Is it called Trevor?
No, it's called a bee sting.
See, I've never even heard of that. Chocolate eclair, right? Or trifle, or jelly, right? These are things that I know the name of.
Okay. What about a layered ice cream mixed with after eight mints?
Viennetta.
Yay! You see?
Right, I have no idea which one is the farcical this week. I think you want me to say Nudes of the World is the farcical.
Why do I want to say Nudes of the World is the farcical, other than it keeps you saying the word nude?
I'm going to say that What's the Catch is the farcical.
But usually you accuse me of doing really rubbish puns.
That's why I think that you've put Nudes of the World in there.
Okay, well, we will start in order then. So another fine eat-on mess or eaten mess is an article.
Of course it is.
And you've got to have some. Next time...
I don't like meringue.
What?
It's all right, but, you know, I'm not overly fussed about meringue.
Then we had Queen to be King.
Mm-hmm.
You say this is a genuine article? And you're wrong. This is the one I made up.
Fine. What? Well, no, fine. You know, if you want to win article or farcical this week, I'll let you. That's fine.
Don't try and be me. You can't be me. I'm more me than you could possibly ever be. I can just exude a smell.
No, I'm a better Izzy than you are sometimes.
You're so not. You're a rubbish Izzy. I have ultimate Izzy powers. I'm like a super Izzy. I have recall memory and legs.
I can fly.
Only as high as Fenchurch.
Can you fly?
I can fly if given a plane.
Yeah, quite.
So, Nudes of the World was a genuine article, Simon. So, ha ha. As was What's the Catch. So, ha ha. So, you got it completely wrong. And we're going to see a less cocky attitude from now on. Hmm?
Still 4 out of 6.
Well, no, because the other two you lost before that.
Ultimately, I am losing article or farcical.
Ultimately, everybody's losing, Simon. Nobody gets out of this life game in any good nick.
Welcome to a brand new section.
Brand new! It's shiny, it's sweet, it's in the wrapper, it smells a bit of new car. Come inside, sit next to us on the squeaky leather and reveal what is inside...
Humdonger.
It's a section whereby Simon's new made-up word, which is...
Humdonger.
Instead of a humdinger, these are the articles we both suspect are in the papers just to fill in space.
Yeah.
So, Simon.
Mine inevitably comes from a TV review. But this tit gives a review of Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, which I think is one of the best new comedy shows been on since I can remember, really. Well, he essentially just lists his jokes out of context and then goes, oh, wouldn't it be funny if Stuart Lee ended up in a Celebrity Big Brother house with all these people he's just taken the mick out of? And that's it. That's his review of the show. It doesn't say what its merits are, just that it would be funny if Stuart Lee was in the next Celebrity Big Brother.
I've got Fox Pop. What has your mum ever done to embarrass you? The mother of footballer John Terry has been accused of shoplifting outside the Ritz Hotel in central London, where tea is a traditional treat for the well-behaved mums. We ask passers-by what conduct has ever left them with red faces, literally stopping people to see if they can come up with anything interesting. So, Stephen Cross, 60, is an IT manager. At a play with Maureen Lipman, she commented so loudly that Lipman stopped until she quietened down.
I've often wondered if at the ballet, do the dancers fart?
Yes.
Right, now I know.
That's why they have the music. Why your obsession with bottom burps? What's going on?
You mentioned the theatre, and it just occurred to me.
So, I mentioned the theatre, and you go off and assume that we're talking about arses. And what emanates from them, other than your own ideas?
That is the new humdogger section. Me talking about bottom burps. Or the articles that aren't very good. One or the other.
I got home to find my mum totally plastered with her friends. She was on top of her friend on all fours.
Plastered, as in they turned themselves into a statue?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a eat or mess. They caked themselves in meringue and then stood very still and ate themselves out like a caterpillar.
You can't say ate themselves out.
I can. You're filthy. What is it with you today? It's just shit and tits and piss and vaginal surgery and Piers Morgan. The Independent on Sunday's puzzle special, then. I've got Pure Logic by Clive Duig.
Are you going to make me use my brain?
Yeah, you need to. You've got to wake up here, okay? Now, I had an equal amount of hot black coffee and hot black milk in each two cups. I put a spoon of milk from one cup into the coffee and then I stirred it up thoroughly. Then I took an equal amount of the mixture and put it back into the milk. Was there now more milk in the coffee or more coffee in the milk? Come on, Simon. Coffee, milk. You decide.
There was more milk in the coffee.
No, dude. It's an equal proportion in both. Okay, another one. This logic, right? There are precisely 9 people going up in a lift. Exactly half of them were female. How many males were there?
What? You can't have half a person.
So?
So there's 9 people in a lift.
Exactly half of them were female. How many males were there?
4.5.
You can't have half a person.
Eh? 4 there. No, four.
The answer then is none, as one cannot have half a person in the occupants.
That's not a question, is it? That's a stupid trick.
Okay, Simon. My first begins most months. My second occurs in most months. My third is the third in the third month. My fourth occurs in most months. My last only occurs in the last of any of the months.
Right.
So my first begins in the most months. Jay. You say correct. Well done. My second occurs in most months.
You?
No.
A?
No.
Is it a vowel?
Yeah.
O?
No.
You?
No, no, you haven't done bloody E.
Okay. E, right. I said
well
E.
Done.
I'm sure I
did.
Yeah.
Not say E.
J-E. The third was R.
Yeah. Fourth occurs in most months.
B?
Nope.
R.
Yeah.
Right.
And my last only occurs in the last of any of the months.
That's a Y, obviously. So it's Jerry.
Jerry!
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 Well, my brain nearly worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I concluded that you could have half a man and that most vowels can be repeated twice.
And like always, the answer can be found in the good life.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements.
It's way me. You do weird stuff about porn and then expect me to go, oh, that's great. I've got some.
It wasn't porn. It was a moving article about how sex was being used to destroy lives in order to get secrets.
If our readers had read your paper, The Times, they wouldn't know all about the security clampdown during the anarchy protests on the 1st of April.
Well, if our readers hadn't read The Times, they also wouldn't know about The Wire being on. And that you should never buy Piers Morgan's book.
They would have known not to buy Piers Morgan's book because our readers have taste, which is why they know I win. They wouldn't have got the puzzle special. We had fun with the puzzle special. We proved that you're an idiot.
We didn't need the puzzle special to prove
that
I'm an idiot.
You have got a picture of Leonardo in a hat.
That is true. I have got a picture of a wet kitten, though. It's true, I have. It's on the front of my magazine.
JuneBrown.cotton.com does
.cotton.com. Oh, see, you didn't come up with that during the actual bit.
Shut up. Anyway, .cotton.com beats
you win just because of .cotton.com. I have to admit, .cotton.com is funny. Is it .-cotton or just .cotton?
It'd be www.cotton.com.
Right, so the paper you should have bought last week was...
The Independent on Sunday!
Izzy's paper, as always.
What do you mean, as always?
Do you not want to claim that you generally win?
I'm just saying, it's a fair contest every week, so... Do you know the word griseous has been taken out of the dictionary?
Which word?
Griseous.
Griseous?
Yeah, nobody knows what it means anymore, but griseous.
Fair enough. And how do you know this?
My friend Kate told me.
Are you sure she wasn't doing that really funny, hilarious joke, did you know the word gullible has been taken out of the dictionary?
No, that one is. But griseous, it means streaks of grey or slightly grey, like John Major. And malison, that's been taken out of the dictionary, as is vaticinate.
Vaticinate?
Yes.
That's a good word.
I know, it is quite a good word.
What does it mean?
It's an injection they give to choir boys to stop them being fiddled with. No, it's... it means like a prophecy, I think. Or it used to, it doesn't anymore. So we can reclaim all these old words get chucked out of the dictionary. We can reclaim them.
Okay, so the griseous you should have vaticinated this week... was
John Major. The Independent on Sunday.
We didn't get through to your letters this week, I'm afraid,
but we do read them, and thank you very much, and carry on tweeting me. Dudley tweeted me a lot this week. Come on, Dudders, as is God the Father. He keeps tweeting me as well.
God the Father.
God keeps telling me off on Twitter. Every time I do something naughty, God's there just going, well, you should think again about that. It's quite annoying.
If you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. You can visit our website at www.sundaysupplement.com.
Tell a friend.
That's the best thing you can do, is just tell a friend about us. If you enjoy the podcast, tell a friend. If you don't...
tell an enemy. An enemy. A sea anemone. Because they listen to any old shit.
I've just got this image of a sea anemone with white headphones in.
I know. It sounds... it looks really cool, doesn't it? Like urchin. I'm thinking of a sea urchin rather than a sea anemone. What we used to do is you jump in the sea, pick up the sea anemones, which are actually very dangerous to do, thinking about it, because they're poisonous, right? So don't get spiked, pick them up and put them on the beach and then watch them crawl back in. And it'd take them ages and they get very hot and puffed. They just look like Dennis the Menace's hair.
So, yeah, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.
Bye.